بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 10th of August in the year 2019 but more importantly it's the glorious night of Eid al-Adha and the blessed nights of Eid are the nights in which supplications are answered by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And it's also a night in which one should participate in worship due to the various reports mentioning its virtues. And it's called Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar in the Quran, the great day. So if Yawm al-Arafat, according to Anas radiallahu anhu in Tabarani, was like 10,000 days to the companions, then Yawm al-Nahr must be more. So you could safely say you're talking about 100,000. And the multiplications have started until tomorrow Maghrib, inshallah. And we moved on to the ninth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion, Sayyidina Osman ibn Affan, radiyallahu. So the next section is entitled, The Tragic Passing Away of the Illustrious Daughter of Our Beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu, He participated side by side with our beloved messenger in all battles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the glorious battle of Badr. So why was this? In Sahih Bukhari, number 3690, in the chapter on the virtues of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, Abu Dawood, number 2726, Tirmidhi, number 3726, in the chapter on virtues, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 5776 or 2-101, Mishkat, number 6080, or volume 4, number 57, in the chapter on Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he said, Uthman ibn Affan's absence, radiyallahu anhu, from the Battle of Badr, was because the daughter of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was his wife, fell seriously ill. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, later informed him, You will receive the same reward and a share of the spoils as any one of those who participated in the Battle of Badr. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is a flawless report recorded in Sahih Bukhari, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. So he did not fight in Badr of Man. But Abdullah ibn Umar said, because he was looking after the Prophet's daughter, his wife, she was very ill. But when the Prophet later came after the battle, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to Uthman, you have the same reward as those who fought in Badr. And you also have a share of the spoils. Meaning, it's just as if you was with us. You will get the reward of Badr and the share of spoils. Our beloved messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had fixed a share for him on the very day of Badr itself. How do we know? In Abu Dawood, number 2726, in the chapter on Jihad, Mishkat, number 4031, or volume 2, number 183, in the chapter on spoils, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah stood up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning on the day of Badr, and he said, Inna Uthmanan talaqa fi hajatillahi wa hajati rasulihi wa inni ubaya'u lahu. Verily, Uthman radiallahu anhu is attending to an urgent need on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall now take the oath of allegiance for him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also allotted a share of the spoils for him. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never allotted a share for anyone else who was not present on that day. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So in an authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, it's the day of Badr itself, meaning Badr is over, the victory is complete. The Prophet ﷺ then explained to all the Sahaba, Uthman is attending an urgent need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Look at the status of Ruqayyah. When he told Uthman to look after his daughter, Allah ta'ala in fact was commanding this. And then he says, I have taken the oath of allegiance for him, meaning for this battle. And then he gave a share of spoils for him. And nobody else was given a share except those who was on the battlefield. Thus, not only is Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu his name mentioned amongst the elite warriors of Badr, but he also received a share of its priceless spoils. So why do we say priceless spoils? Because the spoils of war were forbidden for the previous Ummahs. It was absolutely forbidden for them to take any spoils of war. A fire would come from the heavens, consume everything. They couldn't take anything. It was Badr. After Badr, it was allowed, unique for this Ummah. So that spoils is precious because it was the first. Uthman gets a share of that, radiallahu anhu. So now the question, what was the illness from which Sayyidina Luqayya was suffering from, radiallahu anhu? In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, it mentions, on reaching Al-Madina, Sayyidina Luqayya radiallahu anhu had an attack of smallpox and thus remained ill for some time. In the meantime, the Battle of Badr took place. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave eventually for the battlefield, leaving Uthman behind radiallahu anhu to look after his ailing wife. So let's look at this. So it was an attack of smallpox. So now this is something you need to keep reiterating. Medina was the most plague-infested place on earth. Anybody who went there, they'd fall ill. Abu Bakr went there, he fell ill. Bilal went there, he fell ill. Everybody fell ill except the Prophet. This is in Sahih Bukhari. So not only have they left Makkah, the city they love too much, they've gone to a city where they're falling ill. But then the Prophet made that dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, take away the pestilence to Juhfa, where the Jews are, give it to them. Right? And they went there, and people who still get ill when they go to that place. So simply put, it went. But Luqayya, like the rest of the companions, she fell ill. So this is the way to explain it. She was young, healthy, but when she got there, she had an attack of smallpox. And it basically left her with very little strength of her own. How do we know she was seriously ill? Because the Prophet told Uthman to stay behind. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why would he tell Uthman to stay behind? Unless if it was a minor illness, it was a serious illness. The young but most capable Sayyidina Osama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was also left behind to help Uthman in his duty. Osama ibn Zayd was the beloved of the beloved of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bayhaqi, in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah, T-130, Sahih, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 2, page T-15, the English translation, Sayyidina Osama ibn Zayd ibn al-Haritha, radiallahu anhu, he said, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left behind Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, and myself to attend to his daughter who was ill. So Osama was a youngster at the time, but he was very bright, and he was very, obviously, capable of doing manly tasks. The Prophet told him to look after his daughter as well. Later, my father Zayd ibn Haritha came riding Al-Adba, the camel of Rasulullah, with the news of victory. I heard the hue and cry. So I came out to see that Zayd, my father, had come with the glad tidings. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I still did not believe it until we eventually saw the eminent Quraysh captives. And Rasulullah gave Uthman his portion of the spoils. So let's look at this. So Uthman is looking after his wife and Osama is also helping. All of a sudden, Zayd ibn Haritha, who fought in Badr, the Prophet told him to go forward because give the great glad tidings that we've won. So he's calling out. He goes, you know, congratulations, a great victory. So when Osama came out, he saw his father. Because I couldn't believe it. I thought, no, this must be some sort of kind of a military tactic. Something's happened. Because I only believed it when I saw Rasulullah return and I saw the prisoners. I, the Quraysh. And I noticed that the Prophet gave his spoils to Osman. So not only did he get the spoils, he got the spoils of Rasulullah. He goes, there's your spoils, O Osman. Alas, despite his deep care, attention and love, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was to see Ruqayya's life slip away slowly to eternal glory and rest. When the beloved daughter of our exalted messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breathed her last, Sayyidina Uthman was devastated radiallahu anhu. He burst into tears. And thereupon hugged his beloved son, a mere child of around 6 years, who was also weeping over the loss of his dear mother. So what happened? Malik al-Maut came. He doesn't look at age, he's not bothered about age. She was young, very young, but she died from that illness. So now picture yourself in Uthman's shoes. He's lost his relationship with the Prophet. He's not fought in Badr. He sees his son, thinking, who's going to look after my son? Upon her passing, Uthman uttered the following words in grief. In Kanz al-Umal, volume 6, page 379. Alas, my grief and mourning cannot be compensated. For once the Holy Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of resurrection, all the relationships of people will be cut off except my relationship. Alas, my kinship with Rasulullah has been cut off. So now this is very important. He's grieving, but why is he grieving? He's not grieving like you get a normal person getting grieving over the loss of his wife. He's grieving over maqam. The Prophet said, all relationships are cut off in the day of judgment except mine. Meaning it's going to be such a petrifying day. Father's going to run away from his son. The son's going to run away from his mother. But my ties will remain firm. So Uthman radiallahu anhu said, my tie has been cut. He goes, how can I recover from this? Look how humble he was as well. He wasn't thinking of his own greatness. He goes, I had that insurance policy. He goes, it's gone. Indeed, this was a double blow for this most venerable man, because he had lost his relationship with Rasulullah, being the son-in-law. And secondly, he was not a wadir of Badr. So what happened? In Al-Isaba, volume 4, page 304, Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Kandahlawi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Sirat al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 348 of the English translation, he said, Osama ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhuma, did not partake in the battle of Badr because of Ruqayya's illness and his youth. He was busy making the burial arrangements when he heard the takbir. Uthman asked him, O Osama, did you just hear what I heard? The takbir. When they looked, they saw Zayd ibn al-Haritha riding Rasulullah's camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and coming with the news that the polytheists were defeated. Sayyidah Ruqayya was 20 years old when she passed away. Look how young she was. So now if you look at this, 20 years old. How old was she when she got married? She was around 30. So now why is this important? Because when a woman becomes baligh, marriage can take place. Allah Ta'ala has prepared her now. She's a woman. But depending in which society you live, man-made laws get in the way. They go, no, she's still a child. How can she still be a child? She's having a menstrual cycle. And then they come out with, no, but mentally she's not a woman. Doesn't matter about mentally. Sharia doesn't look at the mentally, right? She's physically a woman. So basically, she got married very young. She gave birth to her son when she was, what, 14? Possibly 15. That's how young she was when she had Abdullah radiallahu. She passed away. Now look how interesting it is. He's devastated because his wife passed away, and suddenly he heard a takbir. Takbir, you know, for joy. So you just picture it, you know, he's absolutely devastated, thinking, I haven't fought in Badr, I've lost my relationship, my wife's passed away, my son's left without a mother, and all of a sudden, Allahu Akbar, he's thinking. And he looks at Osama, he goes, did you just hear what I heard? And they looked out and the news came that the Battle of Badr has won. The beloved daughter of our exalted messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Upon her burial, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 3093, Abu Dawud at-Tayalisi, page 351, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet thereupon went to the head of the grave, and Fatima sat to his side, radiyallahu anhu. She wept, and he compassionately wiped the tears with his garment. Subhanallah. So she's buried, he's buried his daughter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima, who's the sister of Ruqayya, she's next to the Prophet and she's weeping. And the Prophet is wiping the tears of his daughter with his garment. In other words, don't weep. In other words, he's in a better place now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with the illustrious daughter of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and forgive us all for her honorable sake. Ameen. So Ruqayya has passed away to glory. Uthman, alhamdulillah, he's got some sort of comfort because the Prophet said, you have fought in Badr. You've got spoils of Badr. But the relationship has been cut. So what happened? Subhanallah. The next chapter entitled Dhul Nurain, the possessor of two lights. Sayyidina Uthman was not to remain single for long. Our beloved mother, you have to turn to Hafsa now. So who's Hafsa? Hafsa's Umar's daughter. Our beloved mother Hafsa radiyallahu anha, her first blessed husband was Khunais ibn Hudhafa Sahmi. Her first husband, Hafsa's first husband, was Sayyidina Khunais radiyallahu anha. It is related about this blessed man in Sahih Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, number 5122, Al-Isaba, 1-4567. He migrated twice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once to Abyssinia, the other time to Al-Madinah, similar to Uthman. So this great man, Hafsa's first husband, Sayyidina Khunais, radiyallahu anhu, he's just like Uthman, he's migrated to Abyssinia, come by, he's migrated to Al-Madinah. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Idris Kandahlawi in Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 297 to 8 of the English translation, he said, Hafsa emigrated with her husband to Al-Madinah. Hafsa radiyallahu anha migrated to Al-Madinah with her husband. This is also in Al-Bidayah in the chapter on the 45th year after the Hijrah. Hafiz Zurqani in Sharh al-Mawahib, volume 3, page 236. So now let's look at this. He migrated to Abyssinia. No mention is made of Hafsa. He comes back to Makkah. He then migrates to Medina. Now he's migrated with Hafsa. So it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out that Khunais radiyallahu anhu, he married Hafsa when he returned from Abyssinia around the 10th year of prophethood. And then he migrated with Hafsa to Al-Madinah. Have you understood this? So when he migrated to Abyssinia, he wasn't married. He came back to Makkah, false news, he stayed in Makkah, then he got married to Hafsa. Hafsa at the time was 16 years old when she got married. This magnificent man had then fought in the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. It is related by Hafiz ibn Hajar in Al-Isaba 1-456 and Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in Al-Istiyab 1-438 that Khunais received a wound at Uhud which led to his passing away. So one report says in the Battle of Uhud he received a serious blow, and because of that blow Sayyidina Khunais was passed away. However, others have stated he passed away after the Battle of Badr. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat 8-81-2. So obviously he's got an incredible life. I'm not going through his life. He's a Badri, that's all you need to know. Sayyidina Khunais, the first husband of Hafsa, he passed away after Uhud, latest. Upon her first husband's passing away, the young newly widowed Hafsa was thereupon seen grieving bitterly. So how old is she? She's probably about, 20 years old. She's lost her husband, a Badri. She's a widow at 20. Sayyidina Umar was visibly moved. He thought, who now can marry my daughter? Hafsa, radiyallahu anhu. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4005, Nasa'i, Bayhaqi, Abu Ya'la, Ibn Hibban, Ahmad in his Musnad, Al-Fattah al-Rabbani, 22-130, Sahih, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Fath al-Bari, number 1522, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 120, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 655 of the New English Translation. So Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, my daughter Hafsa radiyallahu anhu was widowed when her husband Khunais ibn Hudhafa Sahmi passed away in Al-Madinah radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah, he was a companion of Rasulullah who fought in Badr, Umar said, because he was a sahaba who fought in Badr. I thus met Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and I said, oh Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, if you agree, I would like to get you married to my daughter Hafsa. Abu Bakr just stared at him. Didn't say yes, didn't say no, just stared at Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu looked at Abu Bakr and he's thinking, why is he not talking to me? A few days later, Rasulullah proposed for my daughter and I married her gladly to him. Abu Bakr then met me shortly thereafter and said, O Umar, you may have been angry with me when you proposed I marry Hafsa and I didn't give you any reply. Umar goes, of course I was angry because you didn't say anything to me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Umar radiallahu anhu, the only thing that prevented me from giving you a reply was I had heard Rasulullah make mention of her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I thus did not wish to reveal the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Umar, had he not married her, I would have most gladly have married your daughter. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So where is it recorded? Mills and Boon, right? In Sahih Bukhari, Nasai Bayhaqi Abu Ya'la. Now think about this. Look at the age gap. Hafsa's 20 years old, thereabouts. How old is Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr at the time, he's 50. Did Umar think, oh, he's 50 years old, he's 30 years older than my daughter. I can't give him to an old man. There you go, innit? Jahiliya. Your beautiful cult has entered Islam. He's not bothered. He thought, the perfect man. Because Abu Bakr, you know, look what the situation is. My daughter's widowed. I think you should marry her. Now look how amazing. Look at the love Abu Bakr had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thought, I can't say anything. Because the Prophet talked about her. So all he just staring at Umar. So Umar is thinking, yes, no. He had so much love, he couldn't say anything. Then what happened? The Prophet married Hafsa. And straight away, Abu Bakr goes, listen, Umar, this is what happened. You don't get angry with me, because I would have loved to have married your daughter. Meaning, I know that this would have pleased you. But now, one last report to finish. There's another hadith. In Ahmad, in his Musnad number 74, 4005, 5122, and 5145, Sahih. Umar radiallahu said, after Abu Bakr, I met Uthman. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and I offered Hafsa to him in marriage. He spoke to me, in shi'ta ankahtuka Hafsa. If you wish, I will marry Hafsa to you, O Uthman. Uthman said, sa'anzuru fi dhalik. Let me think about it. A few days passed, he met me, and he said, ma uridu an atazawwaja yawmi hadha. I do not want to get married at present, Umar. I've thought about it, but please, don't get upset. I've got too much on my mind. Then I met Abu Bakr. I said, if you wish, I'll marry Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, to you. He just stared at me. And the same hadith is mentioned after that. So now this report doesn't mention why Uthman. Why is Uthman? Because he's just lost Ruqayya. So Umar thinking he's lost the daughter of the Prophet, I'll give him my daughter. Because her husband, what a perfect match. And Uthman thought about it. He goes, please forgive me. He goes, I've got too much on my mind. And Abu Bakr gave him that silent treatment again. Radiallahu. So all I mentioned today was basically the passing away of the beloved daughter of our exalted messenger, Sayyidah Ruqayya, at the age of 20. Radiallahu. And look at the tests that these great people had to go through. Sayyidina Uthman. Radiallahu. And I'm now mentioning, who is he now going to get married to? He was offered Hafsa, but he respectfully declined. But then, inshallah, we will discuss this, if you're still alive, in the next few days. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhanallah, rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu al